Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, Congressman Tim Walz joins us to talk about furloughs, improving VA care in rural areas, and clearing the claims backlog, and we'll preview Camp Ripley's open house. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Happy birthday to the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. On August 25th, 1917, the 34th Infantry Sandstorm Division was organized at Camp Cody, New Mexico. The distinctive unit patch was also created that same year by an Iowa National Guard soldier and regionalist artist, Marvin Cohn. But the division did not take on the nickname Red Bull until World War II. The division's birthday is specified as the official unit day of the 34th Infantry Division by the U.S. Army Center of Military History. As such, this day is to be commemorated with stories, displays, and ceremonies of the unit's past accomplishments. I encourage you to log on to the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division Facebook site and share your memories today. Attack!
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Congressman Tim Walz. Congressman, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom. I'm glad you guys had me back again and grateful for the work you're doing.
Sir, now you remember the rules of the show, right?
I remember them.
We got to go easy on the politics and no acronyms and no cussing.
That's right, and hopefully have some plans to get something done.
Congressman, when last time you were on, we talked about the fact that you spent a career in the Minnesota National Guard, and you were a command sergeant major. Are there any other command sergeant majors in Congress?
There aren't any. There haven't been any. And someone told me that, well, that's part of the problem. But I'm certainly honored to be able to do it. But I think your veterans listening understand, I certainly take that more as a mission statement, the role of the sergeant majors to take care of the troops, training, and benefits and their well-being, and that seems to fit pretty well with someone on the VA committee.
Sir, I think you're onto something. We need a few more sergeant majors out there in Congress.
My wife says, she says that, and a few kindergarten teachers, and things would be better. She's probably right.
So you're home from the break, and instead of wrestling with partisan politics, you're cleaning the garage.
Cleaning the garage, up to Farm Fest, out visiting some businesses, but in those few hours of free time, I've got my honey-do list to get done, and I was saying it that it actually feels pretty good because it's a job I can see the end to and I can finish it, and we need to keep that up and keep that focused more, and I think from a veteran's perspective, things are still working in Congress, and that's the good news.
Sir, for those listeners that might not know, can you tell us when you first ran for Congress, and what were you thinking, Sergeant Major?
Well, I ran in 2006, and I'm a school teacher, a geography teacher, and of course spent time in the military, was a full-time military technician for a while, and I just think, like so many Americans even back then, it just felt like, regardless of your political affiliation, that the folks serving didn't really reflect where we were at. When I would hear people talk about, you know, well, $100 a month isn't that big a deal. Well, it certainly is when you're, you know, I was at that point a 20-year high school teacher making a little over $40,000 a year, certainly a good living, but, you know, your bills and things matter. And so I think that got me motivated that there'd be a better way to do this. I think I've heard you many times, Tom, and I think probably many of your listeners, we have strong political beliefs, but we certainly care far more about the country and our fellow citizens than we do about our politics. And it just got, and it hasn't gotten that much better. I would be the first to tell you that. But I think at some point, unless we try and unless folks get engaged who want to make a difference, you know, positively, it won't get better. So that was kind of my motivating factor for I wanted to do things a little differently.
At the end of the day, we're all Americans, aren't we, sir?
That's it. And I think we need to remember it because we grew up in a time we know this that, I mean, you know, as religion and politics are things you never spoke about in you know, in polite company type of thing. It's healthy to have differences of opinion. It's not healthy to see your neighbor first and foremost as a as a Republican or a Democrat, it's best to see them first as an American. And I think, you know, as I said again, I'm incredibly proud of the work the VA committee does. It's that way. Some of my best friends in Congress are on that committee, Republican members, and that's the way it should be.
We're speaking with Congressman Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, you've been there for a while now. Have you figured out how to navigate the Congress and how to get things done and get bills passed?
Well, I think so, and I've still been able. I saw last year I had the most bills passed of anybody, and I said when you're in the minority, you know, some of these good governance things that we all agree on, Stock Act, we shouldn't be trading stocks that on information that no one else has. And some veterans issues, you know, whether it's GI Bill or some of these other things. I think the trick is finding what we agree on, because, you know, if it's I mentioned this to some people, it's pretty similar to a marriage. If you spend all the time on the things you disagree on, it's not going to go very well. But you find the commonalities, you work through the differences, and I think that's the key. I still come back to when they came out of that first Constitutional Convention and James Madison, they asked him, you know, what's the secret here? And he said three things: compromise, compromise, compromise. We can't lose sight of that. As long as it's in the best interest of the country, we can certainly get it right.
Sir, I know that when you were in the Minnesota National Guard for all those years, you got a lot of experience and a lot of travel, but have you been able to travel as a congressman and visit some of our troops?
I have. You know, I don't take any outside trips, any funded by anybody else. I do take the congressional ones, and I have gone see our troops on four occasions over these last 8 years, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, throughout the Middle East, and then into the Philippines. And if you want to believe, again, all that's good, all that's right, and all that's positive, go see one of our troops who are at a forward operating base in, you know, south of Kandahar, and doing the job they were sent to do, doing it with dignity, doing it in the face of hardship and not complaining. It's just, for me, I know when I go on those trips, I get far more out of it than they do, because I think those of us, all of the veterans listening, know that the last thing you wanted was somebody, supposed VIP, come and disrupt your work day. But these folks are doing what we ask of them, and we need to make sure we're honoring their service by making our government work.
Sir, do they on those trips, do they address you as Sergeant Major, or do they address you as Congressman?
You know what's really funny, Tom? The first time, and I actually was out at Walter Reed when I first got elected, and there was a young Marine, and they introduced me, said, "This is Congressman Walz. He's a retired Sergeant Major in the Army National Guard," and this kid never missed a beat. He said, "Oh, I'm really sorry about that." I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, he's a Marine," and this kid said, I said, "You're sorry about what?" He says, "I'm sorry you took the demotion to Congress Sergeant Major." So most of them do. They get it.
Sir, I think you mentioned you've toured some VA facilities recently.
I have, and we went out to San Diego, and some of them, you know, obviously a huge, huge military presence out there, but starting to try and get a handle on how some of these are working. Ironically enough, one of the higher functioning, you know, the VA hospital system's the best in the world. The benefit system, as we all know, you know, your listeners would know that benefit system's the one where we've got some problems, and certainly not for lack of trying, but one that I witnessed that's one of the best is out in the Philippines. There's a huge number of Americans, of course, live in the Philippines. That's, in fact, I was at a VFW club out there where I had lunch. Is the second largest in the world, with these expats who decided to stay and live in the Philippines. And so, seeing these facilities and seeing the healthcare, as I said, we as a nation should expect that the best health care we have is delivered to our veterans. We should expect it's done cost effectively, and the VA has done a wonderful job. On the other side of the house, though, on some of these benefits, they're waiting too long. In some cases, the veterans aren't given the benefit of the doubt, and those are things that need to be always corrected.
Sergeant Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about sequestration, furloughs, and some legislation that you're involved in.
Absolutely.
We've been speaking with Congressman Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Congressman Tim Walz about his service as a Command Sergeant Major and now a Congressman out in Washington, D.C. Sergeant Major, in the news lately, we've been reading about these furloughs. Yeah. That have affected the full-time techs and the guard personnel here in Minnesota, and I would note that they've been shortened. Apparently, Secretary has found some extra money and cut them back from 11 days to 6 days, but that was some days between now and the end of the fiscal year.
Yep.
And I'm worried about next fiscal year. Is it going to happen again? And, of course, I'm concerned about the workers living near the margin.
Yes.
I think at one time you were a full-time tech and you would have been affected by this. What's your perspective on that, sir?
Well, first of all, this is what happens when we don't do our work and when we don't compromise. There's no one that thinks we should be wasting money, and I think all of us agree that everyone, including the military, should try and be as efficient as possible. But sequestration was the only thing that happened because we had reached that debt ceiling, we had reached a crisis point, and it was the only solution. And it absolutely makes no sense. I've always said this. Why would you cut a program 3% across the board when it should be eliminated? And why would you cut folks that are doing the nation's business of national security, these technicians, when they didn't cause the fiscal crisis, and we all agree that it's a priority to spend on? So this is the wrong way to go about it. It is absolutely unfair that it falls upon these folks. And you're right, Tom. I was a military technician, which meant that I wore the uniform, but I was officially a GS-7, and then on the weekends of drill weekends, I was an E-7. And what I did at that unit, I was a one-man armory out in western Nebraska. So I did all of the payroll, I did the training, and did the supply. And what's happening is when these folks are being asked with no pay, no benefits, being asked to leave their jobs, the work goes undone. And of course, because they're conscientious, of course, because these are good folks, they'll put in the extra work it's needed to catch up with that. But that's wrong. And as you said, these are solidly middle class positions. These folks aren't making $100,000 a year as a GS-7. I'll guarantee you that. It's the wrong way to go about it. And again, this is what happens if we don't have an honest discussion and prioritize and get our budgeting done.
Congressman, that has to have an adverse effect on the morale and the readiness status of our National Guard troops and civilians that are working for us.
Yeah, you hit it, Tom. They'll get it done, but what it comes down to is this. These folks didn't take these jobs to get rich, nor did they take an oath of poverty. But the one thing is they certainly didn't do it in the morale issue is to be made feel like they're pawns or to feel like they're not important in what we're going to do. Because if I were them and they look around the government, the question I would ask is really? This is the only place where we can save money? I think many of them would say there's other places where we could do that. There's other decisions that we could make to balance the budget other than saying you're going to take an unpaid leave and goodbye. Now, I don't know, you know, these are national security positions, and granted, the sky is not going to fall tomorrow, but it undermines this. If you've got one of these folks that's seen this happen, and these are fairly talented people, they may choose to go elsewhere, and then we lose our best and brightest that are willing to do public service. So it's a bad situation. It was totally, unnecessary. It's totally the result of partisan divisions. If you said that you don't want it on this show, there's a reason you don't want it on this show. It's unproductive. You shouldn't want it in your government. Differences of ideas, fine. Different political ideology, fine and healthy. But a rigidness that is forcing National Guard technicians to leave their jobs with no pay for something they never did is just wrong.
And, sir, these are the men and women that keep reenlisting time after time, and despite the repeated deployments and fantastic readiness status, this isn't good, is it?
It's not good, and, this takes its toll, 12 years of war, and these are the folks, a lot of these, they might not just be the tech side of, they may be mechanics that are working, repairing this equipment as it came back, and it's just, what's it say to them? And I had a colleague, Tom. He was at a ceremony welcoming back some troops from Afghanistan, and amongst those were technicians who the next day had to take the furlough. So you had politicians there thanking them for their selfless services going to Afghanistan and fighting terrorism. When they came back home, he said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're not going to pay you. Don't come to work tomorrow. Now, what kind of message is that? I said, how could that not impact morale? And I got to tell you again, Tom, I'm not finding anybody in southern Minnesota that says that's the right way to approach this. Now, I'm hearing them say, we need to get our fiscal house in order. Fair enough. But this is certainly not the right way.
Well, sir, we certainly hope that the Congress can work together and pass a budget and give some certainty to the DOD and the military so that we can resolve this going forward and not have this unfortunate situation.
Well, a lot of us voted to do that very same thing and said the least we can do is exempt these from that. And let's hope with the Senate, maybe we'll get a conference to get that right.
We're speaking with Congressman Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, I wanted to ask you about some legislation you've been working on, a couple of bills. One of them was the MnHealth Review Act?
Yeah, we've got one with Senator Franken, too, that we've got the mental health side of things is one that I've been working on. We got a whole bunch of veterans that were discharged from the military for what the military called personality disorder or adjustment disorder. That's a pre-existing mental health condition that you're pretty much born with or develop early in adolescence. And what happened was these folks went to war. Some of them had traumatic brain injuries, and unfortunately some of them were raped. And the military made a determination with no chance of appeal from the veteran that they already had a condition before they came in that made them incompatible with service. Now, keep in mind, some of these folks were in for 10 years and did four tours. You thought we maybe would have figured that out before that. But it's unfair, and it's the wrong thing. So you got about 30,000 of these veterans that have been kicked out with no appeals, no benefits, and I'm trying to get that one fixed. And we'll keep at that, but there's another one that affects a lot more people. It's, as we were speaking earlier, the benefits that are too slow in being delivered. The VA is making some progress, but I think there's some things we can do to speed it up. And Senator Franken and myself, along with a lot of help from veteran service organizations, and in fact a lot of folks over at the VA that believe it's the right way to do, said let's speed this up, let's use some civilian medical evidence, let's process what we can now. You know, many of your veterans listening understand when you have a claim there might be multiple things. There may have been a back injury, hearing, something else. Process the ones you can process now and move on, and I think that'll take some of the pressure off this backlog you hear about.
And that's your bill, that's the Quicker Benefits Delivery
Act. That's right. And, you know, as I said, it's got a Senate companion. Senator Franken totally gets this. We don't try, and a lot of folks will propose bills that have no chance of getting there. They haven't been vetted amongst the veteran service organizations, you know, the Legion, the VFW, the Disabled American Veterans. These folks worked with us to help write this, and the VA folks said that this could help us on that. Now, obviously, the VA always likes to say they've got it under control, and I have a saying where I said I am the staunchest supporter of the VA, but I will be their harshest critic when they drop the ball, because there's no room for error. On this one, they need to accept some help. We've got civilian medical evidence that can be entered in and help these claims, and that will speed things up.
Sir, it's my understanding that over 500,000 veterans have been waiting longer than 125 days to have their claims adjudicated, and that Secretary Shinseki has his two major goals were to lower the number of days that it takes to process the claims and try to eliminate veteran homelessness.
That's right.
I would assume you're doing everything possible to help him achieve those goals.
We are, but we're not there yet. And I've been at this for a long time, Tom, as have others. I think the good news is this is the first time, I would say, in over a decade that I feel like they are moving in the right direction. His goal of 2014, the end of 2014, looks like it. It's very frustrating for people. That's still too long, but you know, these are complex claims. We sent a lot of people to war. We've got a lot of aging veterans. A large number of those people waiting are Vietnam veterans who have finally gone in or are trying to get what they earned. This isn't the lottery. This isn't a handout. These are folks that served their nation, and unfortunately, in some cases, because of exposure, whether it be Agent Orange or through their military service, have a decreased quality of life or health issues, and that's what we set this up for. And so we're trying to speed it up. I think the Secretary is I'm a big supporter of Secretary Shinseki. He's a good man. He gets it. He's trying the best he can, but it's my job and Congress's job to keep their feet to the fire and make sure they do that. So that's why Senator Frank and myself and some other members, bipartisan-wise, are trying to help them, and I think this bill will do that.
Sir, I want to ask you again, are you finding good cooperation on the veterans committees when it comes to veterans issues still?
No, absolutely, and I wish I know a lot of your listeners are frustrated and believe that nothing can work. We have a responsibility to make the democracy work. The VA committee is still working, and as I said, Chairman Miller, from a Republican from Florida, is a close friend of mine. I've traveled to places with him to look at VA facilities. He gets it. I support him. He supports me, and that holds true right down the line in that committee. It's I know it's some boring stuff sometimes to watch C-SPAN, but if they're ever covering one of these hearings, I think the public would say, now that's what we want you to do. Get along, work hard, use our money wisely, but prioritize and take care of our veterans. It's not all that difficult.
Sir, we just got about 30 seconds left. Are there any other items you're working on in Congress that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Well, I think as we look and we're still evaluating some of these jobs bills, we're getting a handle on the veterans unemployment, but there's still some things we can do to help our employers find these folks, let them leave the military with the skills they have and transfer that to the civilian sector. So we're still working in that area also.
Congressman, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today, and keep up the good work in Congress.
Thank you, Tom. You too. Appreciate all you do.
That was Congressman and retired Command Sergeant Major Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Coming up next, we'll preview Camp Ripley's open house. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll meet the commander and the Command Sergeant Major of Camp Ripley and talk about their open house and a number of other issues. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelletoe.
Have you tapped into our personal cornucopia of veteran benefits? These are benefits that you've earned for your military service. Your Minnesota County Veteran Service Officer is the first person you should contact to find out if you or your family qualify for local, state, and federal veteran benefits. Included in the budget was a $2 million increase in grant funding for county veteran service offices. This will help veterans obtain benefits and services through one-on-one assistance. Minnesota's county veteran service officers are among the best in the nation. They are well-trained, professional, and understand how to navigate the complex VA system. They are the experts for all things veteran in their respective communities. Without them, many of our state's veterans and family members would not obtain the benefits and entitlements they have earned.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletoe. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're pleased this morning to have the post commander of Camp Ripley with us, Colonel Scott St. Sauver, and his Command Sergeant Major Michael Warden. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Colonel, you were here listening to Congressman Walz, and he had some interesting things to say, from the furlough to legislation he's working on. Anything you'd like to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I sure did, and I certainly appreciate all the things that Congressman Walz had to say. He's a great supporter of our Guard and obviously of veterans across the United States, and we really do appreciate the hard work he does in Washington for us every day. He mentioned a couple things, obviously, as you talked about the sequester and as you talked about furloughs specifically towards technicians. And Tom, you know that a large portion of my force up at Camp Ripley and my fellow directorates up at Camp Ripley are technicians. They're federal technicians that go to work and support our soldiers every day. And this is our training season. So that has had an effect on us. And, you know, and when he says, work not getting done or undone work, that's absolutely true, and it has an effect. But what's really interesting is he also mentioned that even though that work gets undone, the soldiers still step up. Those technicians step up when they come back to work, and they still get the job done. And so what I want to assure everybody out there that even though that they're furloughed, and we feel that very strongly, is that, you know, they step up to the plate again, and they're so proud of what they do, and they get the job done. We can't wait till they're back on staff full time, and we hope that we don't go through this again, and we certainly hope the congressman will continue his efforts to help us keep our force strong.
Sir, it's a real sad state of affairs that they have to miss out on some of that pay, but their training as an Army soldier is you're going to have problems and you're going to have issues and you work through it, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. And, you know, the two things a sergeant major and I look at every day, and, of course, everyone in our forces, is the safety and the training needs of our commanders out there and when they're training. So and those technicians are a big part of that. So we have to readjust. You know, we take that mission as it complicates, and then we get it done. But make no mistake, it is very, very difficult without our technicians. And we want them back, and we want this resolved as an organization so we can move forward. So hopefully the congressman will continue to do that.
Hopefully the congressman and all of Congress will get together and pass a budget, and you'll have some certainty for next year. We're sure pulling for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing he mentioned that I really kind of drew on was that VA benefits bills that he's working on. And I can't tell you how lucky we are, number one, in Minnesota to have the VA system that we have. That's one thing that's good. And it's critical to our success, but our veterans, our currently serving veterans who will become retired or veterans in the future, and then, of course, our veterans currently, and ensuring that that backlog is down, ensuring that they're receiving the benefits that they need is just, I can't overstress that. It's just important, and it has a huge importance to our state for the future. So the work with the veterans do, the you know, the commissioner's current comments that he just made about the services to the veteran service officers, I tell people every day, either in uniform or out of uniform, you have to, if you're a veteran, tell somebody. If you haven't registered with your veteran service officer, go just register. If you haven't considered affiliating yourself with the DAV, with the VFW, with the American Legion, with the military or the Purple Heart, any of our veteran service organizations, please do so, because it helps. We're not asking anything. I don't think anybody is asking more. Just join, because your affiliation will help you receive the benefits you deserve.
And of course, we've said over and over again on this show that if you're a veteran, get your 214 and go visit your county veteran service officer. You don't have to want anything. Just go register, meet him or her, and get ready just in case.
Too easy.
Colonel, you've got an open house coming up soon.
I do. And you know, we do our open house about every 2 years, and it's a pretty special event. And the theme for this year's open house, if you remember 2 years ago, we did a Welcome Home to Vietnam Veterans, which was very, very popular. Well, this year, the staff has decided we're going to do what's called Heroes of the Home Front. And what we're really looking to do there is recognize and publicly thank organizations, individuals, and family members who've been instrumental during these last 12 years of deployments. And what we're really looking at is those people that said, a lot of people stepped up and looked at family members and said, hey, we'll help you when you deploy. And they did nothing. But there was a group of people that you and I both know that stepped up and did way more than that. They went, they could be a neighbor, they could be a friend, they could be somebody who just decided, you know what, I'm going to do something. We want to thank those people publicly. We want to bring them to Camp Ripley on that day with 3,000 to 5,000 local community members, and we want to say thank you. We want to stand those folks up and thank them for taking care of our soldiers and families.
Sir, there's some special people you're going to recognize for making a difference?
We are. One of the people we're going to recognize is Captain Tony Foster. He's a Vietnam pilot, and he's actually going to be presented his Distinguished Flying Cross, one of our nation's highest awards for aviators. He was awarded the DFC in Vietnam, but he never received it. So we have the honor and the permission to give him that award during that event. Mike Mills, Sergeant First Class Mike Mills, was an Iraq veteran who was injured in an IED explosion and received burns over 30% of his body. He was awarded the Bronze Star, but he never received it. And so we have the opportunity during that presentation to present him that medal, which I'm pretty excited about. Actually, if you follow Mike at all on Facebook, he's very excited about coming down and receiving that. So we're pretty excited to have Mike come in and do that. So those are a couple of guys that were really important part of that entire Heroes of the Home Front ceremony.
We're glad to see you do that. But, sir, for your visitors to come up, will you have activities for the families?
We sure will. During our open house, we do that really to thank our community. Thank our community members. Thank everybody around the Camp Ripley area that supports Camp Ripley. So we'll have Humvee rides for the public as well as the kids. We're going to have a lot of static displays. I just heard today that our aircraft, or one of our Blackhawks, is going to be up training, so it might stop by, and so the family members can come and take a look at that, and people that are coming out to the base. There'll be a classic car show, a lot of civic organizations, food vendors, and of course the veteran service organizations will all be there. They'll all be there with their products and sharing their time with our community and members. And then the music will be provided by the 34th Infantry Band. So it'll be a lot of fun.
We're speaking with the Camp Ripley Post Commander, Scott St. Sauer, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, can you tell us when is this event and what kind of hours are you going to be open?
We're going to start about 10 a.m. on the 15th of September. So on the 15th of September is the day to come out. And we're going to we'll open a little bit early for the vendors, but then we'll run till about 3 in the afternoon. But you know, we're pretty loose that day. It'll be a nice day. Last year or 2 years ago, I remember it rained. It was just a miserable day. This year, that is not going to be the case. It is, you know, I control the weather. If you haven't heard that, but Camp Ripley now, I do control the weather. I have to check with the sergeant major to see if it's right, but.
Somehow I'm not surprised it rained on that. It'll rain again. But I'm also not surprised that it rained on my fellow Vietnam veterans a couple years ago.
Well, and if you remember anything about that event, I'll never forget Commissioner Shelato, you know, at that time saying, hey, this is perfect.
Monsoons.
And all of his veteran Vietnam veteran buddies went, yep, it couldn't be any other way than monsoon.
We lived in it the whole deployment. We know all about the rain. So that's going to be on the 15th of September from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And is it open to everyone?
It is. It's absolutely open to everyone. It's open to all community members, anyone that wants to come up. Remember, Camp Ripley is a state-owned facility open to the public. All you need to have as you come through the gates of Camp Ripley is a valid form of identification. A driver's license works just fine, and we want everybody to come out on the 15th. But if you can't come out on the 15th, I want to also tell you anytime. Come up to Camp Ripley anytime. We are not closed. That is I want people to see the base. I want people to go to the Minnesota Military Museum. We have one of the finest museums around, and spend the time on Camp Ripley. Come up and see soldiers training. They're out there all the time. And this fall will be very busy. September is going to be a very busy month for us.
Sir, we got about 30 seconds left before the break, but can you give us a 30-second synopsis? Camp Ripley, it's only 2 or 3 acres, right?
Right. It's 53,000 acres, to put that in perspective, 18 and a half miles long, 9.5 miles wide. It's a nice yard. Deb and I live there, and we're very fortunate to live there while we're the commander and first lady up there. And so if you come up and see us, we'd love you to show the yard off 18 miles of the Mississippi River, 18 miles.
I've got to get up there for you. You told me you'd give me a personal tour. I've just got to get up there for that.
Absolutely,
sir.
Tom.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk about some other events at Camp Ripley and your participation at the State Fair. We've been talking to Colonel Scott St. Sauer, Post Commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined in these last two segments by Colonel Scott St. Sauer, Post Commander of Camp Ripley, and his Command Sergeant Major Michael Warden. Sergeant Major, we didn't have a chance to let you even say a word in there.
Well, you learn pretty quick that that as a Command Sergeant Major, you work for the commander, and when he's talking, you let him talk, and then when he's done, you provide your input after that. So I figured we'd just roll in. The one comment I did want to make, though, Colonel St. Sauer talked about our museum. And for those of you who enjoy military history, or even if you don't, to be honest with you, we have an absolutely amazing museum at Camp Ripley that's kind of a hidden gem. Of course, I've been fortunate enough in my military travels to get to see a number of them, and I honestly have been to very few that are as professionally done, as well done, and tells the story of the military, and does focus on the Minnesota Army National Guard. Like the one that we have at Camp Ripley. It's open in the summer season when all the people are traveling by. It is open virtually every day. There's absolutely no cost whatsoever to come and look at the outdoor displays, and they do ask you for a small donation to come inside and look at the exhibits, but it's absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful spot, and if you're traveling up north, I always tell people when you're coming up 371, just turn at the tank. When you get to the big tank on the road, turn into Camp Ripley, and we'd be more than happy to see you and come and enjoy that museum. It's quite a treasure. The people that I take there that have never seen it before are kind of amazed that we've got that hidden away here in Minnesota.
Sergeant Major, a lot of the people going up north for fishing and vacations and so forth, they drive by Camp Ripley and they figure, they won't let me in there. But
they do. You're absolutely correct. And they look at it as, and then it's funny, you'd asked about the size of Camp Ripley. A lot of people think, well, there's a tank and there's the state cemetery and then there's kind of a gate and that's probably Camp Ripley. Well, there's a heck of a lot more to it than that. And you're right. I mean, don't get me wrong. My security guards will probably stop you, might ask you a couple of questions and look for some identification. But once you get through that, absolutely, you can come right on in. They'll direct you where you need to go. And there is quite a bit to see on the post for anybody.
And the museum is a beautiful place with a lot of information in it. If you want a little tease on that, go to Minnesota Military Radio. Put in the search device, the Minnesota Military Museum, you'll hear an audio tour that we did about a little over a year ago up there. Colonel, I know we've got the great Minnesota get-together coming, the State Fair. We're going to be out there on Military Appreciation Day, August 27th, recording two shows from noon to 4, but you're going to be there as well, aren't you?
I am, and a lot of my staff will be there. I'll actually be on leave that day, and I'm going to hang out with the veterans all that day, so I'm pretty excited about that. I love the adjutants and all the folks from the veteran service organizations, but on my staff side, I'll have a number of my soldiers down there and my subject matter experts with displays on Camp Ripley and Camp Ripley's services. So stop by our military booths over there and take a look at what Camp Ripley has to offer if you're interested in what it looks like. All those folks will be there to include a lot of our cultural and resource stuff. And that really gets people's interest perked. When you start talking about deer on Camp Ripley and things like that, people get pretty excited about camp because there's a rumor out there there's a few deer and they tend to get pretty large. So So, you know, stop by and see us at the State Fair.
Colonel, a lot of people don't know that, it's my understanding, it's one of the best training facilities in the United States, but it's a state asset, isn't it?
It is. It's a tremendous state asset. It's a state game refuge. It's a statutory state game refuge. And, of course, we do a ton of interagency work, and you'll see that in our displays that are at the State Fair. We're not just a military training base. We have expanded into the interagency realm of training. And of course, the DNR lives up at Camp Ripley. They train all their law enforcement officers. The Highway Patrol lives at Camp Ripley. Homeland Security, Emergency Management, and very shortly here, MnDOT will be up doing all their snowplow training. So we are just we're busy all the time, whether it be state or federal services, and all for the benefit of our taxpayers.
Seems to me you and your Sergeant Major have plenty to do, and you're really busy, sir. Sergeant Major, your open house is on the 15th of September. We'll have a link to that and some information on our Facebook page. What other events do you have coming up in the near future?
Boy, Tom, I'm not exactly sure how much time we got left, because I can tell you the list is pretty long. But we have some community-based events. We're hosting some Gold Star families that are coming up for a retreat. We have our golf tournament coming up. We also have a Warrior 5K and 10K run that we host, and that's I believe is the same weekend as our open house. And then we've got some military units that are coming to do some reunions, the 99th Infantry, and then. Beyond those, though, we do have all of our hunts coming up. As you know, we host a number of hunts in the fall and the spring that are specifically for military members and veterans, as well as a couple of public bow hunts that we do on the base. Those are all events that are pretty close and near and dear to the hearts of myself and the post commander as avid outdoorsmen, and really love to see all the veterans that come in we do some archery hunts for deer. We do a muzzleloader hunt for deer, and then we have the open public hunts. But the event that I think is always brings the most excitement, honestly, to Camp Ripley in the fall is we do our Disabled American Veterans deer hunt, and a great event bringing those guys on post. Colonel St. Sauvre, I know, always talks about, you know, the banquet the night before and just the opportunity for all these veterans to come spend time together in one place and share just the time and experience of things that they love to do, like the outdoors, is it's a pretty amazing experience. So we've got a lot of that coming up this fall. You know, that's part of our community service, public outreach work that we do just to help support all those veterans in our state.
Sergeant Major, I know we had the Minnesota DAV on a few weeks ago, and they're really looking forward to that fall hunt.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, because we enjoy hosting them. That probably is again, one of the events that we all look forward to the most on post, to have the opportunity to host those folks.
Now, you keep the post commander too busy. He can't go hunting and fishing, can he?
Well, you know, it is funny. He tries to sneak out on some of these hunts once in a while, but it does appear that that his schedule keeps him away from them occasionally. We'll see. Maybe we'll try to get him out this fall.
We're speaking with the Command Sergeant Major Michael Warden and Colonel Scott St. Sauvre from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Major, I know that we just had a few months ago, it seems like, the Norwegian Exchange Program.
Yep, that's correct.
We had the studio filled with Norwegian officers.
Great. And I know they had a great time when they came down to see you.
It was an interesting day.
I bet it was an interesting day. There's no doubt about that.
Are you working on next year's event?
We are. We are, as a matter of fact. We did just come off of the 40th anniversary of the exchange, which is one of the longest standing cultural exchanges in the United States military. And now we're planning forward. We're throwing kind of a curveball into the program where we've decided that we're going to start to rotate in a summer exchange. You know, this historic 40-year winter exchange we've done with the Norwegians, but we're going to change it up, and every so many years now we're going to start to do a summer exchange where we're going to bring the Norwegians here midsummer, for lack of a better term, and we're going to send our folks to Norway midsummer.
Sergeant Major, is the Army National Guard getting soft?
Oh, boy. I tell you, I would tell you it's just the opposite, Tom. If you look at what the program we're putting together for these guys, when the Norwegians send their soldiers here, they send a large group from their what's called their Ready Reaction Force, which is part of their Homeland Defense National Security Group. And these are professional soldiers. These are some of the most impressive guys I've ever had the opportunity to work with. And we want to bring them to Camp Ripley in the summertime, because what we really want to have the opportunity to do is feature some of the training opportunities that we have on Camp Ripley that are just a little bit more difficult to do in the winter. The other thing we want to do is when we do our large exercise for our Norwegian exchange here, we want it to involve some of our state, our other Minnesota Army National Guard partners. As I'm sure you know, we have some pretty specialized units in the state of Minnesota that are very actively involved in some homeland security and homeland defense activities. So we want to tie them in. We want to tie in some of our civilian partners. So our intent is to do a fairly large-scale domestic operations exercise tying in these Norwegian soldiers as well, because that's the exact same thing that they train on day to day over in Norway for their homeland defense.
So you're going to surprise them. You're going to train them hard next summer.
Well, we are. We're, you know, no, don't get me wrong. It is a cultural exchange. That's a very important part of that. And we definitely allow them the time to experience Minnesota, enjoy their time in Minnesota, and allow our soldiers and those soldiers to spend together. But we are. We're going to work them pretty hard. And our group that we're going to send to Norway, we're going to send up to a training base that that typically I don't think the American soldiers get a chance to go to. I've worked really hard on pronouncing this, so I'm going to try to get it right. It's a place called Porsangmoen. And it's about 40 miles north of the Arctic Circle in Norway. It's a fairly austere training base, but it has some really incredible opportunities. So I will tell you that we better not be sending any soldiers that are getting soft this next summer, because we're going to work hard. We're going to work real hard. We're going to have a lot of fun and take the training part of the exchange and tie it in with the cultural part of the exchange.
Colonel, you're going to take and welcome the Norwegian soldiers in and take off the blanket of snow, and they're going to see the real Camp Ripley.
Well, they're going to see it differently, that's for sure. And as Sergeant Major hit it right on the head, it's going to be a training event using the facilities that we have and the resources that we have in the summertime, because as you can imagine, we'll also have our units training. So we can integrate so much better. And we can actually show those professional soldiers from the Norwegian Home Guard some better or some different tactics, techniques, and procedures that we normally wouldn't get to exercise in the winter. Now, he also mentioned it's only going to be once every few years, so one every five, one every six. You know, the adjutant general and the general in Norway will discuss that and decide what that program will look like. So we'll return to winter exchanges, but we're going to go back and forth. And those guys going up north in Norway, I'm sending the sergeant majors going over there in September to do a recon, and they're going way up north. But they've got some pretty aggressive training up in the high altitude in Arctic up there. So it should be quite an event for our soldiers.
I would guess your sergeant major will get that all scoped out really well, sir.
I hope he does. That's
the
why
plan.
We're sending him.
Yes, absolutely. That's the plan. We're going to give it a good once over and hopefully come back and be ready to send our soldiers over there, have them prepared to do some great training.
Sergeant Major, good luck with all those events the rest of the year, and especially that DAV one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It is. I'm looking forward to it. Really am, as we ramp out of our summer training season. We'll still continue to be busy, but we're going to take a little time, work on that public service, and help support those veterans through some of those programs as well.
Colonel, we just got a little time left. Seems like you've got the best job in the Minnesota National Guard up at Camp Ripley.
It's pretty good. I'm sure there's some other ones, Tom, but for me, it's a dream come true to have been allowed to and to continue to command the base up there. It's a great training resource. I love to train. I love to see soldiers and civilians training. I absolutely believe in what we're doing with our interagency partners. So having those relationships with our state agencies and other federal agencies is just, it makes my job a lot easier.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for stopping in the studio and joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks. Anytime. Thanks.
This is Colonel Scott St. Sauver and Command Sergeant Major Michael Warden on Minnesota Military Radio, straight from Camp Ripley. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Congressman Tim Walz, Colonel Scott St. Sauver, Command Sergeant Major Michael Warden, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get the latest news from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, including an update on the Minnesota GI Bill and other veterans benefits. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.